This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to The Educated Investor. My name is Scott Whatley. We are glad you are with us each week. We are glad to have David Cishan with us. Cishan Financial, they're with the Householder Group. Their number, 720-482-1917. You can check out their website, cishonfinancial.com, C-I-C-H-O-N financial.com. So once again, glad to have David Cishan in studio. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, Scott. Thanks to be here.
Always great to see you. And also joined alongside Stephanie Cishan Bruno. So Stephanie, good to see you as well.
You too.
So, man, I love all the different topics we get to cover about retirement. And one of them that can really, really hurt people, Dave, in this is taxes. Mm-hmm. And so today, we're going to start off the topic anyway with minimizing taxes in retirement. So, big topic. So,
all right.
You got it covered, sir. I know.
Okay. Well, you know, taxes is, of course, one of the risks that we all face. And in retirement, it plays an important part because it affects our cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a believer in the fact that people have the ability to control their taxes. Now, they may not want to at the end of the day or the game or not comfortable with what they have to do that. But you have to remember that when income tax came into being, I think it was like 1912 or so, the Internal Revenue Code was like four questions in two pages, something like that. Well, now we got, 90,000 pages. And there are tools in there that people can use to mitigate. Now, we've got to pay our fair share.
Sure.
We have a country that is a great country. We've got to support it. We've got to pay our fair share taxes. But we don't have to be necessarily overly patriotic. We are now currently in probably the lowest tax bracket scenario that we've seen in many, many decades. And of course, in 2025, our current tax law kind of expires. And who knows what's going to happen?
Right.
Well, I don't think, however, with the deficits that this country runs, that our taxes are going to get lower.
Yeah.
In fact, they just passed a tax law that we talked about before, called the SECURE Act, where they're going to be able to get, based on estimates, 30 to 40% more in taxes than perhaps they should on our retirement accounts.
Right.
So we try to look at ways to help folks minimize taxation. Wherever possible. It's not always possible.
Yeah.
You know, but it's an area taxation to see if there is a way of doing that. And of course, some of the things that people can look at is looking at their retirement accounts or their IRAs, let's say, and perhaps converting some of those to Roths.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you do convert, you got to pay the income tax on that amount that you convert. But once you convert it to a Roth, at least under present law, it's going to grow tax deferred,
right,
and continue to do that. Factively, you can call it tax free until you go to take it out, and then it's tax free forever.
Mm-hmm.
Tax free forever is nice.
Yeah, that'll work.
That's nice. But you know, it is a government program.
Sure.
So they could come back at some point and step in and say, well, going forward, maybe you can't defer it forever.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
Right.
Okay. And but Roths can play a Roth conversion can play a part. The other thing that people can look at is instead of converting it to a Roth, they might want to convert some of their IRAs to life insurance. Now, I know to some people that's kind of like a couple of dirty words, life insurance. My God, what are you going to do with that stuff? Well, I mean, life insurance historically has always been sold to people for the benefit of someone else.
Right.
You know, I have life insurance. I die, my wife gets it tax-free. Nice. Okay. But what if that, what happens if I live? How can I use it if I live? Mm-hmm. Well, we do an analysis for people to see, but if you convert some of the taxable IRA assets that you might have or other retirement assets that you have access to, and you convert that to life insurance, yes, you got to pay the tax on the conversion. It's kind of like paying the tax on the seed, because later on, if it grows, you're going to have a harvest that's going to be tax-free forever. And that's the because of the engine of life insurance. Mm-hmm. And even if you're unhealthy, you know, because with life insurance, with these insurance companies, actuarially, they're going to look at your health and see if you qualify. Well, if you're not the insured, if you're just the owner of the policy, they don't care. You could make someone else the insured that has an interest, maybe your daughter or grandkids or wife or whomever.
Right.
And now you own the contract, and that cash is building, and there's different types of contracts. I won't go into that now, but and it's building and building and building, and the more cash you stuff in it, ultimately it's going to have a chunk of money that you can withdraw the income on. And if you do it the right way, mm-hmm. all that income comes out tax-free. If, however, along the way you're taking it out or you haven't started yet or you have started and something happens and that insured person dies or you die and there's a death benefit, that death benefit is tax-free.
Right.
So you got both sides of the equation if need be. But the most important thing is converting taxable income to tax-free income. As I said in the past to people, and I explained to them, is that we have three sources of income. We have income that it's taxable currently, so like maybe employment income, right. or your pension that's coming in, okay, or even portions of your Social Security that could be taxable if you have mm-hmm. enough income. That's taxable currently. Tax-deferred income. That's income that you maybe have in your retirement accounts that you're growing and you haven't pulled out yet, so right. that's being deferred. And then the third area is tax-free. And I ask people all the time, and same thing in my course yesterday, I said, well, you know, if you had a choice, which one would you like? And they always say, tax-free.
Sure.
Very few people have enough tax-free income.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with tax-free is it doesn't attract the crowd on TV. You know, people don't want to listen. Those guys on TV want some esoteric product program that sounds really wonderful and new. And that's where you should put your money. But
right.
I had a client for years. He was a doctor. I don't know if you know this, but back in the 90s, along other time frames, I mean, back in the 50s, the maximum tax bracket on the highest paid individuals was 90%. 90%. So after a certain amount of income, every dollar this guy was earning, 90 cents went to Uncle Sam. So he got up one day and said, this is ridiculous. No more. What I'm going to do is I'm going to buy tax-free bonds, yeah. municipal bonds, whatever, tax-free municipal bonds, let's just say. And he bought them. And when they matured, he'd buy some more. And when they matured, they'd buy some more. I met him. I don't know, 10 years ago or so, and he said, David, what do you think about this? So I looked at it all, and I said, Doc, if you're happy with this, this is good. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. Well, a couple of years ago, he died.
Mm-hmm.
And he had 11.5 million of these tax-frees. His income per year was $485,000 tax-free income a year. He spent $5,000 a month. His universities and other charities were great recipients of this
sure.
with this money. But it's simple, straightforward, tax-free. You don't have to go crazy. And it's not exciting to talk about. It's not going to be conversation at the mahogany foxhole. But it's going to do the job for a lot of people. And tax-free is very important in retirement because you have more taxable, you have more income to spend.
Absolutely.
And isn't that what we all want in retirement? We don't have the big paychecks anymore, so we want to be able to spend money that covers our expenses on an ongoing basis with no pressure.
Right. You're listening to The Educated Investor with David C. Sean. Also, Stephanie C. Sean Bruno is with us as well. Once again, their number for a free consultation, 720-482-1917. Just mention you heard the show, and they'll be glad to schedule a time with you. So, Stephanie, real quick to you. I mean, you know, you meet people when they come in, and maybe after a few meetings, series of meetings and stuff, and they do business with you guys, then you get to know them a little bit. Talk just a bit about the peace of mind that after getting a plan brings, because you know what, probably when people walk in, you know, there's some trepidation there. There's some, you know, hey, what's this going to be like, the whole process and all that. But then after everything's done, just talk about that peace of mind it brings people.
Well, I think the proof is in the pudding, especially for people that have recently retired. They come to us, they say, look, I just retired a month ago, or I'm about to retire and I have this to work with. I'm kind of scared, because how do I know I can live off of this? What are we going to do? And then, you know, after coming in, meeting with David, putting everything into place, visualizing what they want in the future, what they need, and we kind of engage the plan as how they've, you know, based on how, what they've talked to David about, they feel much better. They know, okay, so next month my income check will start, you know, I'll get my distribution. There's a tangible asset that they're going to receive. They have it in writing. They can contact us every single day, 5 times a day if they want to talk about it. We're always available to answer any questions. They can come in as often as they like. But the bottom line is you know, the comfort level they have with us and with David is, you know, you can't put a price on that.
So. You know, it's a great thing to do, too. I mean, just for the family, it's almost like having a will and trust and all, mm-hmm. or whatever is appropriate for you. But it's almost just like having a will and different things, because we see many times where people don't have anything. And then the chaos that kind of brings, David, to a person's mm-hmm. life when losing a loved one, you've got the loss. Yes. And then all of a sudden, you don't know anything as a spouse or
right.
child of, you know, something happened to both your parents, unfortunately, which God forbid, but you know, a car wreck or something, and all of a sudden you don't even know who to call, who to go to. So,
right.
man, to have everything in a plan mm-hmm. is the answer.
Yeah. Well, it's just helpful.
Yeah.
You know, they know where to go and what to do, who to call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right?
But I think one of the things that put comfort level at a lot of our clients is the fact that we break it down to a financial house,
mm-hmm.
okay, when people come in. In other words, if you're going to build a regular house, once you have your plans and the lot that you're going to build it on or the property, what's the first thing you do? The first thing you do is either build a footing or a foundation mm-hmm. to put the house on.
Right.
Same thing here. When people come in, I don't care where their investments are. First thing I want to know is, what do you have in your foundation? Mm-hmm. You could just have a little footing like the people in eastern New Jersey do, or mm-hmm. southern Florida, so when the storms come, the house falls over. Or you can build it like where I'm from, which is Connecticut. We have big foundations. And the first thing we do is making sure that whatever assets you have or whatever income you have is in that foundation and can't get destroyed. Everything else after that is, I call it a piece of cake.
Sure.
It's making sure that, one, they understand that they should have something in the foundation. And then once they do, whatever it is, once they do, that comfort level becomes much easier.
Mm-hmm.
Because anything can happen above ground, and yet what's in the foundation isn't going away.
Sure.
Whether you like it or not, it's
yep.
there.
Well, David, always great information. Thank you again, sir. We appreciate it.
Welcome.
And Stephanie, thank you as well.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us today for The Educated Investor with C. Sean Financial. Once again, they're with the Householder Group, 720-482-1917.
Hi, Jack Corgan. Shopping for a new car can be a harrowing experience unless you use my favorite car dealer, Len Lyles Chevrolet, just east of I-225 on Colfax, 15 minutes from anywhere. I've worked with them for more than 12 years, and I promise you, Len Lyles is not your typical car dealership. Check out their excellent reviews on Google. They are respectful of your time, not high pressure, and have very progressive pricing because low overhead really does mean lower prices. Len Lyles Chevrolet, go east and pay the least.
Chevy. Find new roads.
Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality eye and vision care for over 50 years. Stack Optical is a family-owned business, and they're proud to be one of the few optical offices that have their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Your one-stop shop for all of your vision needs, eye exams, glasses, and contacts. And don't forget about the Stack Sports Pack. Let owner and certified optician Alan Stack customize a pair of specialized glasses that will make your next outing on the golf course or on the gun range better than ever before. Call today for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Or check them out at stackoptical.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Knowledge in Reverse, brought to you by Steve Hurley and Affordable Interest Mortgage. As the old saying goes, knowledge is power. And in the world of reverse mortgages, this knowledge is critical. Now, welcome to Knowledge in Reverse.
Welcome to Knowledge in Reverse. My name is Scott Watley. We appreciate you being with us. Glad to have Kurt Rogers with us, owner of Affordable Interest Mortgage. Our show is brought to you each week by Steve Hurley with Affordable Interest Mortgage. You can reach Steve at 303-885-0254. That's 303-885-0254. Kurt Rogers, how are you, sir?
I am doing fine.
How's the mortgage world?
Mortgage world is busy. All aspects of it.
I bet. Well, the aspect we're going to talk about, as we always do, is reverse mortgages. And, you know, Kurt, we say this all the time, and I know Steve, when I've talked with him, he says the same thing. This loan isn't for everyone. But I tell you, for a lot of people, this can provide some great income, some great peace of mind, some money to do some things with that normally they wouldn't have been able to do. And, I mean, it can be a great thing for a lot of people.
It is. It's actually very good. A lot of people have the wrong concept and myths and beliefs about how it works. But a reverse mortgage, like you said, it's not for everybody, but it is for a lot of people to do just that, is to take the financial burden out of their life. You know, in the last, we're up in those ages. Mm-hmm. In the last years, we're always struggling and kicking a can down the road. Do I have enough money to get here? The reverse mortgage is a tool that can be used. It's not the only one, but it's a tool that can be used to help keep your finances active as you grow older.
Right. And we've done a lot of shows together. I did not know the topic we're going to talk about today, that there is such a thing as a jumbo reverse loan.
Yeah, they used to, and it's just recently come out, but because of home values and where they're going and what's happening, not just in Colorado, but across the country, the jumbo reverse had to come out because they had capped it down around the $600,000. Now they've raised it a little bit. But a reverse mortgage is a loan that's created to help more seniors find a way to convert the home equity and access cash to supplement their income. It has a new higher loan limit. The standard reverse mortgage will only go to 762, 5.25. But a jumbo reverse will go to $4 million, not appraised value, loan amount.
Wow.
So, and you'd be surprised how many people that can really use a jumbo reverse mm-hmm. to save them to keep their cash. A jumbo reverse is the same as a normal reverse mortgage. And the technical term for a reverse mortgage is called HECM, which stands for Home Equity Conversion Mortgage. It is not insured. A jumbo reverse is not insured by FHA, the Federal Housing Administration, but it is what they call a non-recourse loan. It is the same as a standard reverse. What that means is that neither you nor your heirs will ever owe more than the loan balance or the value of the property at maturity, whichever is less. And your heir is not obligated to use the assets other than the home to repay the debt. That means your heirs, through your estate, whether it's a $2 million reverse, they're not responsible for that. If the value has decreased, they're not responsible for that. It's just yours. It's the same as what it would be on a standard reverse mortgage.
Okay.
Now, the only thing that's that works in a jumbo reverse is pretty much the same that works in a standard reverse. There's two determining factors. It's the value of the home with your age. At a certain age, if the home, let's say, is worth $1 million, there's a percentage you get at 62, a higher percentage at 65 or 70 or at 75 or 80. And we used to stop at 80, but now we're going up to 95. Because what was there? A guy the other day lived 104.
Mm-hmm.
He was at 104 and he was walking.
Right.
I mean, he made the comment on the news. I thought it was pretty funny. He said, "You guys threw a party for me? Just me?" He's 105. It was. So we're living longer.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Now, when we're talking about qualifications, is this a little tougher to get, or as long as you hit the normal qualifications for a reverse mortgage, you're covered?
You're pretty much covered under the normal qualifications for a reverse. It's not about income coming in. All reverse mortgages, as with all mortgages, there's a financial assessment that is required to ensure that a reverse mortgage can be sustainable, that it's got a long-term solution for the borrowers, and how it benefits it. Whether it's a jumbo reverse or a standard reverse, you must go to counseling. And the purpose of the counseling is for the independent third party to ensure that the borrower understand the financial implications and associated with the reverse, and the counselors ensure that they were given the correct information. One of the nice things about having counselors, and they're third-party counselors, those are not your local counselors that you can go to like a local counseling agency. They can't do reverse mortgage counseling. There are specific reverse mortgage counselors that are identified by the lenders. But the purpose of them is to make sure that whatever the broker tells you or the person that's walking you through the reverse is not giving you false information.
Right.
Because if so, they want to know about it. They don't, and that can happen in any industry.
Sure.
So they make you go to these specified FHA counselors for reverse mortgages.
Right. And just to make sure there's no misunderstanding, because you know what? I mean, I've been in meetings, heard something, misunderstood it. You've been in meetings, misunderstood it. And so this is just a safe place where people go. They're not trying to sell them something. They're just trying to make sure they understood what they understood.
Yeah, it's kind of a checks and balance system, and it's one of those ones that I really like because if you're trying to be deceptive, you're going to get caught.
Right.
The counselor's job is to make sure you're aware of the information and that you're not being misled. A reverse mortgage, like we've talked about, can be very beneficial, but you may go into it with the wrong thought. Understand, when you have an obligation on a reverse, and you basically have no mortgage payment.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean you don't have payments. Too many people will try to advertise, say, we'll have no more mortgage payment, but they don't finish the sentence. And the sentence is you still have to pay your taxes, property taxes.
Right.
You still have to pay your homeowner's insurance. If there's an HOA, you have to pay the HOA, whether it's a standard, a reverse, or a jumbo. You still have to do those. You still have to keep the house up. And in order to qualify for it to be a reverse, it must be your primary residence. And what that means is you have to live in the property for 6 years, or six, not 6 years, sorry, 6 months and a day.
Okay.
If you're in it 6 months and a day, it then becomes primary. You can have a second home somewhere else, but this is your primary, and you can put the reverse on that. Again, whether it's standard or jumbo.
Right. You're listening to Knowledge in Reverse, brought to you by Steve Hurley at Affordable Interest Mortgage. If you'd like to talk with Steve, get some more information about this, see if you qualify, give him a call, 303-885-0254. That's 303-885-0254. Now, what are some of the ways a jumbo reverse mortgage can work for your customers?
It can work in a lot of the same aspects as that it can work for as a standard reverse. It's just that you might be needing more. For example, you can pay off you're going to pay off your existing mortgage, and then you're going to turn around and in some cases you can pay off debt.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking at freeing up cash, that's one of the ways you can do that, because with a reverse mortgage, you can pay off your debt. You can do home improvements. That doesn't limit you on a standard reverse. It doesn't limit you on a jumbo reverse. If you want to improve the house, you want to finish a basement, you want to add a room, you can pull out the cash to do the home improvement, which increases your value. So the money comes back. Or maybe you need to make changes to the house to make them more accommodating for medical facilities.
Sure.
You know, maybe you need to put a bathroom in downstairs because you're going to stay on the main level instead of a two-story. If you're doing a jumbo reverse, sometimes instead of taking money from somewhere else, you can take the money out to go traveling. you know, you decide, say, okay, I want to pull out $30,000-$40,000 and I want to take a trip to Europe. You can do that through the reverse mortgage.
Hmm.
And then the other one is kind of a safety net. A reverse mortgage kind of prevents you from, if your money's tied up in other areas and the market crashes and the finances get tough, by having the reverse, you have no payment. So you're able to sustain yourself and continue to stay in the home without having to tap some of your other money that maybe you might be losing some money.
Sure.
So it gives you a lot of options there. Number two, a lot of folks that have a reverse on it, even on a standard, what they're doing is they're using that money instead of their retirement money. So they're keeping their finances, their retirement finances, to bay at the other side. And by having no mortgage payment, you still have taxes and insurance. You don't have to access your retirement money because you now, if you have let's say you have a jumbo loan and you're doing $800,000 to $1 million. Well, that payment's pretty stout. That's probably close to $4,000 to $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of a sudden that payment can go away. So it frees up that ability to not have to touch your other finances. And by accessing the equity in your home, it allows you to handle unplanned emergencies. I call them speed bumps of life. They're going to come up. Sometimes they're financial surprises. Sometimes they're medical surprises. Other things are you can handle health care expenses. And that's, you know, we're going to have... with what's going on, there's going to be expenses for health care that are coming up, and a reverse mortgage gives you the freedom to have that, again, without touching other money.
Right. And when one of those health things happen, it is not going to be cheap.
It's not inexpensive.
I mean.
we all know that.
Yeah.
It's going to be expensive, and this allows you to defer taking the money out of your retirement. You know, and I mentioned it earlier, as we grow older, we want to make sure we don't outlive our money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you spend all your life building the equity in your home, it's kind of like a retirement plan. The reverse mortgage, especially in a jumbo, allows you the accessibility to that funds so you make sure you don't have to change your lifestyle, or you can handle those emergencies, or you can take the size. In some cases, people will maybe take that money out and they'll right size.
Right.
They'll take the money out and they'll go buy the right home. Maybe it's a ranch. Maybe it's a 2 or 3 bedroom instead of a 5 bedroom. Maybe it's 2,500 square feet instead of 5,000. Some people will go out and buy that second home, and they don't have to pay for it. They've mm-hmm. paid cash. They no longer have a payment on their house, and now they owe their second home for cash, and it gives them a lot more freedoms to do a lot more things. If you need to do the modifications, like I said, or you need money for a caregiver, a reverse mortgage is a great way to do that. Instead of maybe going to a home, you could stay in the house you're at and you have a caregiver come in.
Hmm.
So the reverse mortgage gives you the money to take care of the caregiver, because living in a nursing home can get extremely expensive. And like I said before, you protect your investments from a downturn. The last thing about a reverse mortgage, whether it's standard, there are some great tax benefits to it. You need to talk to your financial planner or your CPA.
Okay. And, you know, it does seem like... 10 years ago or so, it seemed like a lot of financial planners weren't on board with this, you know.
They weren't.
You know, they were just, and I think, misinformed and not really understanding it. And if they didn't understand it, the best thing to say is it's not good for you.
Well, FINRA.
Now that they're understanding it.
FINRA actually would not, they condoned a financial planner from talking about reverse mortgages. And in about 2-3 years ago, when they reanalyzed and see how they were set up with the counseling and the way they protect the consumer, they now say that they can become a great asset and a tool mm-hmm. for the financial planning of a senior as they grow older.
Right.
So they've actually reversed courses. You are correct there.
Great. And last thing here real quick, protection from investment downturns, I should say. It helps to minimize the risk for your investment portfolio. Last thing, Kurt, reduce your tax burden.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Because you're pulling the money out, it's tax-free. It's your money.
Sure.
You've already paid on it. Instead of taking money out of retirement plans, now you're going to pay taxes on them anyhow. But there's different retirement programs you can go to if something happens and eliminate some of those taxes. But you talk to your CPA or financial planner, but it can save you a lot of money in taxes.
Right. You've been listening to Knowledge in Reverse, brought to you by Steve Hurley at Affordable Interest Mortgage. Give Steve a call today, 303-885-0254, 303-885-0254. Thank you for being with us today.
You've been listening to Knowledge in Reverse, brought to you by Steve Hurley and Affordable Interest Mortgage. If you would like more information about a reverse mortgage, call Steve now at 303-885-0254. That's 303-885-0254. Regulated by DORA, Equal Credit Lender, NMLS 298191.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
And we'd like to welcome you to Your Health Matters. My name is Scott Watley again, if you're just joining us. Glad to have Dr. Perry Maynard with us today. Dr. Maynard gets to be with us every once in a while. He works really, really hard over there. Dr. Stedman has the time off, right, Dr. Maynard?
Yeah, exactly. Dr. Stephen's just, you know, traveling on the beach and then yeah, just here working.
Exactly, yeah. But hey, man, I know you guys are busy. I was over this morning. Clients in there early this morning and patients. So glad you could take a few minutes and be with us. Again, this is Your Health Matters, brought to you by Integrated Health Systems. Their number 303-781-5617. And Dr. Maynard, for those, it's been a little bit since you've been on. Let's kind of reset things here a little bit and tell about kind of your focus there at Integrated Health Systems.
Definitely, yeah. So a majority of the patients that I see are patients suffering from various types of neurological ailments. Most commonly, I see a lot of concussions or traumatic brain injuries and pretty much all the symptoms that come with those, which can be anything from dizziness and vertigo to memory loss to headaches, balance issues, things like that, and then seeing a lot of other patients with different types of cognitive issues, whether it's things like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, different forms of dementias and things like that is probably the majority of the patient base that I tend to see.
Okay. Now, we were talking a little bit when I was over this morning talking about blood sugar and its effect on the brain and all. And so a couple of things I just looked up. I'd like to get your comments, then we'll delve into this a little bit. But it said glucose, a form of sugar, is the primary source of energy for every cell in the body. Because the brain is so rich in nerve cells or neurons, it's the most energy-demanding organ, using one-half of all the sugar energy in the body. Now, just because that's on Google doesn't mean it's true, but is that good information?
No, definitely. I mean, yeah, when you look at it really and you think about fuel, and some of your listeners might be familiar, but we've always kind of been taught that glucose is the main fuel, which is very, very true. And the brain does require glucose, but actually can rely on some other forms of fuel, something called ketone bodies, which is actually the byproduct of metabolism of fat. So although you still need glucose for the brain, you can actually break down things like fats and proteins in a thing called gluconeogenesis, to actually give you that glucose you need. So you don't actually need to be eating high amounts of carbohydrates or sugars or things like that to actually fuel your brain. So it is a very true statement, but I think can sometimes be a little misleading with patients because then they think, well, I got to have, you know, that slice of bread, or I got to have, you know, that rice or that pasta because I need the carbs. You see this a lot in the endurance realm where they think they have to be very carb dominant, but your body's very, very smart and can actually utilize some of these other forms of fuel and actually turn them into glucose for the brain as well.
Right. And so would it be a right statement to say that sugar affects your mental health as well?
Oh, 100%. Especially when you look at sugar, there's some, you know, one, if all of us have seen when you take candy away from like a little kid, you know, and they throw this huge tantrum, and sometimes the same happens with adults as well.
I start to say, I don't think we need to define that to kids, yeah.
It's like those Snickers commercials where they're like, you're not acting like yourself, and the person's throwing a big fit, and then they eat that big bolus of sugar
in
the Snickers bar, and all of a sudden they calm down. But, yeah, sugar's highly addictive, and what's interesting is that they've shown with some different imaging studies that sugar can actually light up the same pathways as things like cocaine and other drugs like that. So it actually stimulates a lot of these same reward areas. So that's where the withdrawals from sugar can be like sometimes the withdrawals from drugs or alcohol or things like that, not as severe, but on the lower end can give people those same things because, you know, like you said, the brain is so dependent on it, and sugar can almost kind of ramp up those systems that when you take it away, it can definitely affect the brain in a negative manner.
Sure. Dr. Perry Maynard is with us. Integrated Health Systems, integratedhealthdenver.com is the website. And once again, their number for free consultation is 303-781-5617. So I guess our goal in all this and getting healthy is to kind of maintain that blood sugar level to be pretty steady throughout the day. Because I think we all are guilty of trying to eat things or do things that get us out of that crash we kind of feel midday. And then so our blood sugar levels spike up, and then when we crash back again, what is that really doing to our brain when we hit that spike and it goes up, and then what's it do to our brain when we crash again?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So a few different things. So one is you'll notice with some people, they may get that, either in that spike or that drop, they may get anxious, they may get depressed, they may get irritable, they may get shaky. And a big reason why is that when you eat a large amount of sugar, you get a huge spike in what's called insulin, right? And insulin allows you to absorb that blood sugar. The problem is with large amounts of insulin, it affects your ability to get what are called amino acids, which are byproducts from protein, but those are almost like the chemical substrate or the prerequisite to creating what are called neurotransmitters. So your ability to create feel-good neurotransmitters like GABA, serotonin, dopamine, all those different things is very much related to insulin levels. So when you have these high and low insulin levels, it actually impedes your ability to actually make those neurotransmitters. And that's why you'll see people get really, really sad maybe after a meal or like Thanksgiving dinner. Everyone gets kind of super sleepy and relaxed in those things. It's because of how it's affecting your neurochemistry. Because when you have that high amount of insulin, you actually can't move those chemicals into the brain how you need, so you can kind of get depleted or get what's called CNS fatigue, which is pretty much just brain fatigue, where your brain is literally starving for these neurochemicals that make it feel good. So then you reach for the next snack, and then boom, you get that hit again, and so you're chasing that, almost that rush to get those feel-good chemicals.
Right. And, you know, I think what's so confusing for everyone is everybody's body's different. So you get the people that have to wake up and eat something very quickly to get functioning. You get other people that can go till, you know, noon before they eat something. So, I mean, when people come in to see Jess and talk about nutrition, that's why all this care that you guys offer at Integrated Health Systems is so individualized because, I mean, there's not some cookie-cutter approach. It just fits different people with, you know, in these ages. No, here's what you do for everybody between ages 30 and 35. I mean, everything's individualized, isn't it?
No, 100%, yeah. Every person's different. I wish it was that easy. Yeah. Or it would be a lot easier if it was just kind of a one-size-fits-all, but definitely. I mean, anything from one's sleep hygiene to maybe the argument they got in with their spouse to what they ate 2 days ago, could all be affecting their blood sugar, and you have to take that into consideration and really customize things with each patient.
Okay. Now, does high blood sugar then, we can say then from what you're saying, that it really can affect your thinking or even maybe even cause you some confusion?
Definitely, definitely. So what's interesting about that, if you look at things like Alzheimer's, it's actually starting to be classified as type 3 diabetes in some realms, or people are starting to recognize that there's definitely a blood sugar component, or that the brain's ability to utilize fuel in the form of glucose becomes compromised, which then all of a sudden neurons start not firing so great, and then memory circuits start going down and things like that. So, yeah, there's actually a good amount of research correlating high blood sugar and things like type 1 and type 2 diabetes with increased risk for things like Alzheimer's.
Okay. So when we talk about all this intermittent fasting, and I think you do that, do you do that quite a bit or just from time to time?
I do. Usually I try to do at least a 12 to 14-hour window daily, and then I do a 24-hour fast once a week, and then about a 5-day fast quarterly. It's kind of how I do it.
Okay. Wow. And how does that, I mean, from when you first started doing it to now, can you tell a huge difference? Does it take a while for your body to get used to all that?
Yeah. It's actually funny. Where I noticed the biggest difference was actually when I did my most recent 5-day water fast, in that after I completed that, kind of intermittent fasting and things like that became so, so much easier. It was actually pretty fascinating, because I've been having a little bit of difficult time, you know, just because work can be stressful, running around with patients and things like that.
Sure.
But after doing 5-day water fast, it actually became really simple for me, which was really, really cool. So I now listen to my body and I say, you know, there's days where I'm hungry and I feel like I need to eat, and I eat. You know, it could have been I didn't sleep well, or I was stressed, or I had a hard workout. So I think the important thing to know is, even when people are fasting, is that they still need to listen to their body. It's not something to where if they're feeling dizzy, lightheaded, and not great, where they should push through. You know, if it's going to be productive, they should feel good while doing it. So I think that's a big important thing to note, is that, you know, maybe not every day you're doing it. Maybe on days when you're not feeling so hot, you didn't sleep, you eat something, you know. So I think that's really the important thing in regards to fasting.
Right. Let's talk about the diabetic side of this and what you're seeing there in the practice, you know, whether it be type 1 or type 2 diabetes, and kind of for the brain, and like we're talking about this blood sugar and everything, because, I mean, the big thing is, and I think I've told you this before, my sister had diabetes, juvenile diabetes, and she got it at 13, and then unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago at the age of 62 from this, and had a lot of amputations, all those things. But so, I mean, we all want to stay away from anything diagnosis of diabetes, right? For sure, correct?
Definitely.
I mean, that's just downward spiral of things. But talk about all that with the brain and what you're seeing in patients, maybe, you know, even with type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, definitely. I say, you know, with a lot of, and I see this a lot with a lot of my concussion patients, but one of the biggest things I see sometimes with a lot of diabetics can sometimes be a lot of nerve pain. So you'll find a lot where they may have some burning in their feet, burning in their hands, numbness of the feet, which once again is kind of vessels and nerves being affected by those blood sugar spikes. But in a lot of them, you know, you're seeing a lot of kind of slowing of cognition. You know, maybe they're forgetting where they put their keys, where they parked their car, maybe why they walked into a room and things like that. I'd say some of those are some of the biggest things, is a lot of cognitive things and I'd say brain fog. And then along with that, a lot of kind of nerve pain. So like maybe their feet are tingling, their hands are tingling, along with the forgetfulness, is probably some of the biggest symptoms that I see with type 2 diabetics. You know, I don't see as many type 1 diabetics, unfortunately, just because I think type 2 diabetes is just so rampant in our community and is so common. But it's also, it's very avoidable. And it's if you have the right help, it's actually a lot of times not too difficult to manage. And I think the cool thing is a lot of people can take control of their own health, and not necessarily need to be so reliant on the medication.
Right. Dr. Perry Maynard is with us once again. Integrated Health Systems is the company. You can check out their website, integratedhealthdenver.com. Their number, 303-781-5617. We got to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to visit with Dr. Maynard a little bit more about this relationship between blood sugar and our brain. We'll be right back.
Get relief from flesh and back. You just got in an accident. You called the police. You made sure to get a thorough record of the scene. Then after the initial adrenaline wears off, your mind starts to swirl with all the stuff you need to do. Insurance claims, car repairs, doctor's visits, medical bills, on top of the physical pain you're in. Flesh and Beck will give you relief from the financial stress so that you can focus on healing. Call Flesh and Beck immediately after your accident for a free consultation. Then you can rest while they talk to your insurance company. Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh will relieve your burden of financial worries. All you need to do is call him right now, 303-806-8886. Call Kevin Flesh immediately after your accident. Get relief from the financial stress of an injury. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
Got a road trip planned for getting ready for your next outdoor adventure? Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at D&D Tire Service. At D&D Tire Service in Parker and Aurora, they understand automotive issues can be a headache, and they never come at a convenient time. D&D Tire Service is family-owned and operated and is truly your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. All tires are reduced, and for a limited time, there are some great rebates saving you up to $200. From belts to tires, wiper blades, oil changes, D&D Tire Service has you covered. For the location nearest you, call 303-699-7337. That's 303-699-7337. D&D Tire Service is the official auto repair shop of Sportsman of Colorado Radio. Let D&D Tire Service keep you and your family safe on the roads. DNDTireService.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Your Health Matters. Dr. Perry Maynard joins us today. Integrated Health Systems. By the way, our lines are open, 303-477-5600. If you've got a question for Dr. Maynard, we'll try to answer that for you. So, Dr. Maynard, when you guys look through all this blood work, and I just did a ginormous blood work panel with Dr. Stedman. We went through it all today. Boy, there's so many things, and we've talked about this with Dr. Stedman, but there's so many things that our primary care docs just don't tend to check that you guys do. So many other different markers and how they kind of play off each other, so to speak. Talk about the importance of that.
Definitely. I mean, when you look at, you know, traditional medicine and kind of the line of how they're taught and things like that, is a lot of times they're looking for latent pathology. Is something seriously wrong where you need to get to the hospital? You know, if this goes unchecked, it's not good, right? But when there's things kind of that are, you know, within range, they kind of say, well, that looks okay, it's not a big deal, versus what we're looking at is saying, functionally, how is everything working together? Understanding that when someone comes in with a symptom, we say, okay, here's the symptom. What are all the possible biological systems that could play a role of that? And that's where it's really important to be looking at blood work for all these systems. So that's the cool thing with the blood work, is it gives you a window into the thyroid, into blood sugar regulation, into liver function, into sex hormone function, things like testosterone, estrogen, things into brain function. So it gives you this really this window into how these things are working. And we kind of say, well, why not make everyone optimal? You know, yeah, maybe someone's blood sugar is at 119 and technically they're not diabetic. We're saying we know that when it gets higher than 100 or higher than high 90s over an extended period of time, that's not a good thing. Let's shoot to make everyone as optimal as possible, so they can live the best life possible. And ultimately, what we're trying to also do is prevent disease. You know, instead of catching the disease once it's happened, saying, sure, hey, what are you trending towards, and how can we keep it so you don't ever have to get to that point?
Right. So in your practice, I mean, how many people come in and maybe just start explaining symptoms, and, I mean, you kind of figure out right there, maybe not in the first appointment, but the second, when you go through blood work, that they are really type 2 diabetics, and they're kind of shocked at that news.
Yeah, there's certain things where you sit down, you kind of talk to someone, you hear some things, and then you see some things, and it can be relatively quickly. And things like type 2 diabetes is definitely one of those things where you kind of listen to someone talk their symptoms, and you really don't have to run a ton of lab work either. Mm-hmm. You know, you can run a handful of labs and know pretty quickly to see if someone's type 2 diabetes. But the important thing is that not all two type diabetes are the same. And you can have something that's called type 1.5 diabetes, which is actually an autoimmune version, but it looks like type 2. And this is really, really important because these are the patients we see where they've been going through traditional medicine, they're on metformin and all the medications to help support blood sugar, and their blood levels are all over the place. And what happens to those patients? The doctors blame them and say, well, you're lazy. You must not be eating the right diet. You must not be exercising. And these poor people are doing everything they're asking, but the problem is it's more of an autoimmune type. So that can be the type of diabetes that can be a little bit trickier. True type 2 diabetes can be very easy to kind of figure out and diagnose. But when it kind of looks like it's a blended type, that's when it can take a little bit more testing. And unfortunately, a lot of people in traditional healthcare don't really bother investigating that a whole lot.
Right. So in the practice there, do you guys see this more with men versus women, with more problems with type 2 diabetes? Or is it pretty much 50-50?
I'd say for me, at least in the office, maybe a little bit more prevalent in men. At the same time, it's tough because men a lot of times don't come in to get help. I'd say a majority of our population is actually females, which I think skews things a little bit. And it's not until their wives drag them in by their coattail, drag them on the through crying that they eventually get in here. But I'd say maybe a little bit more commonly men. But honestly, it's pretty close to equal between the two. But like I said, I tend to see more females coming in to try to get on top of it. And I'd say a lot of it's more kind of more middle age, probably more 40s, 50s, 60s.
Yeah. And, and Dr. Sedman and Jess, we've talked about this too, just with the way our fast food industries have taken over our lives and all the things and kids. You go around any school where there's a Starbucks, junior high or high school, they're filled with kids, drinking all the coffees and drinks and all the different, Red Bulls of the world, Monster drinks and all that. So I would say probably the next, few years, if not even right now, we're going to start seeing a huge issue and a big spike in type 2 diabetes, even with those that are, quote, young people right now, correct?
Oh, yeah. It's already happening. That's been probably happening for the past, 5, if not 10 years. Yeah, we've been seeing a huge spike in, pediatric, diabetes and things like that. Kids at the age of, I've seen it in kids at the age of, 5 before.
Wow.
But you're seeing, 10, 12 of kids who are very obese with diabetes. So, yeah, something that used to be labeled as kind of adult-onset diabetes or type 2 diabetes, that said you needed 40 years of abusing your body to happen, is now happening much, much, much quicker. And I agree. I think a lot of that has to do with our food, what children are being fed in schools, but also at home. But also, we live in more of a kind of a toxic world, which can really affect blood sugar and the immune system as well. So unfortunately, we're already seeing the younger population with rising levels of type 2 diabetes.
Right. Last few minutes, and I realize everybody's different, but would you say there's a better time during the day to eat? Let's talk about this intermittent fasting. Let's say someone picks, between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. to eat that during that 8 hours and then take off the other 16 hours. Have you found some kind of window during the day that generally, and we'll say generally, is best and healthiest for our bodies to eat and then don't eat anything after a certain time at night?
Definitely. I think that's actually a great question because, intermittent fasting has been big for so long and, people skipping breakfast, things like that. And I think it is definitely dependent because there's some that will argue that food actually plays a huge role in what are called circadian rhythms, so sleep-wake cycles, right? So eating actually in the morning can actually signal it's time to wake. You tend to be a little bit more sensitive to insulin and blood sugar earlier in the morning and things like that. And actually, as the day goes on, your sensitivity to higher amounts of carbs actually tend to go down. So, like I said, every person is different. I think it also comes down to, you know, because I think what could be almost optimal is that people eat kind of more of an earlier dinner. So maybe usually I say with people, you know, eat within, you know, 2 to 3 hours of waking, and then usually stop around 3 to 4 hours before you want to go to sleep, right? And that usually will get people into either that 12 or that 14-hour window. If you're wanting to get people into a longer window, then you're definitely going to need to cut into that. But the last thing I ever want people doing is, and I think this is why a lot of people skip breakfast, is that dinner is such a family-oriented event, you know? And the last thing that we want people to do is say, hey, I need to stop eating after skip dinner, you know, and now they lose the time with their kids, their family, things like that. So that's why I think a lot of people do breakfast, you know, but like I said, I think at night, I think people definitely need to stop eating at least 3 hours before bed, because that stopping and eating actually helps to signal that it's time to go to sleep. And this is where you see a lot of people getting a lot of indigestion, gut issues, heartburn, is when they're eating too late. Because when it gets later at night, your body's signaling to shut down all of your organs because it's time to go to bed. Mm-hmm. So you actually stop producing a lot of enzymes, digestive material, so that when you eat, you can't process it as well. So I think it's dependent on the person, maybe their work schedule. You know, for me, it can be a little bit more difficult. I start work at 7 o'clock in the morning versus, you know, if someone starts at 10, it makes it a lot easier to wake up and then fast for a little bit and then eat before they go to work. So, like I said, I think everyone's different. And what the research tends to show is it doesn't really matter. What's more important is the window. So the 12, 14 to 16 window, right. Whether you get that in the morning or the night, it doesn't seem to make a huge difference. But people might find, like I said, me personally, I tend to feel like I do better with food in the morning. It gets me going for the day. And then I do better with, like, I just feel like it's easier for me to not eat at night versus the opposite, you know, where I feel like I need that food in the morning. But that's what works well for me. And then the other important thing, too, is that people are paying attention, you know, when are they working out? You know, are they doing their fitness in the morning versus the evening and things like that? So I don't think people need to get as hung up with whether morning or night, just really focusing on those 12, 14, 16-hour windows and just really what works best for their schedule and what feels best to them. You know, so 1 week they could try maybe it in the morning, and then 1 week they could try it more in the evening. So maybe they stop eating around 5 or 6, mm-hmm. and then they say, hey, I do really well with this versus that, and then maybe sticking to that if that's what works best for their schedule.
Right. Got about 60 seconds left, but we just want to end on this question about the brain. And you guys have so much focus on the brain there at Integrated Health Systems, along with all the other things. I mean, brain in the gut, brain in the blood sugar. I mean, brain is always involved in something there. Take just a minute and talk about, you know, I think that sets you guys apart in a million different ways. But talk a minute just about the importance of that and some of the things that you guys do in testing for brain.
Yeah, 100%. So we do all sorts of testing in regards to brain function. You know, we do a lot of different things from different forms of cognitive function. So we can really look at working memory, short-term memory, long-term memory, processing speed. We do a lot looking at balance function. Balance function is really cool because it's actually a really good global indicator of overall brain function. And then we do a lot that looks at different types of eye reflexes or things like that. What's really cool about different types of eye movements is that they're controlled by such a vast array of parts of the brain, right? So there, you can't find a single part of the brain that really doesn't play a role in some type of eye movement. So what's really cool about all these tests is they're tests that, one, people can't fake. They're all reflexive, right? So it really gives you a good window into all these different areas of the brain. And so then we can start to triangulate and say, okay, this area of the brain doesn't seem to be working well. Okay, they also have gut issues. Okay, how do those two things go together? Do they? Okay, and then we have this on the lab work, so we can start really looking at the function of the brain and say, okay, we know these circuits aren't working great. Well, do they even have the fuel to work well? Right. I.e., is their thyroid working? Do they have appropriate blood sugar? Is their gut working? And if so, then maybe we need to come up with a strategy to try to rehab and strengthen those different areas of the brain.
Well, good deal. Well, Dr. Maynard, hey, I know you're busy. I appreciate it. A lot of great information. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Scott. Have a great one.
Dr. Perry Maynard, Integrated Health Systems, 303-781-5617.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation. 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Steadman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.